Thank you. You can take your seats. We've got, we're blessed with the people we've got in our church. You know, we really have some great people. And one of those great people happens to be the chair of our board, but he's so much more than that. Chris is going to come and share with us, but I genuinely say Chris shows so much wisdom and humility with it that I just love talking to him. I always come out feeling bigger and stronger and better. And so Chris is going to share with us this morning. So open your hearts and open your ears and say, God, what are you saying to me this morning? Because I really want to hear from you, Chris.
Thanks, Rachel. Good morning, everyone. Morning, great to see you. Well, let's see if I don't drop the ball after a build-up like that. Hey, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? So I thought I might share a joke first. Oh, no. Yeah, remember what happened last time? Yeah, well, I thought I might share a joke. I told it to Amy, and she said, you're not going to share that on Sunday morning, are you? So you're spared, okay? You're spared today. Right, so let's pray, shall we? Father, we just give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, for you are the living God. We thank you, Lord, for you are the Prince of Peace. You are the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the almighty God. And Lord, we worship you this morning. Lord, I thank you for the word that we're going to share this morning. And I pray that you would speak to each of us, all of us, today through it. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the second in our series of Growing the Family of God. We were really blessed last week. Who heard Levy's word last week about unity? Wasn't it brilliant? Really, what if you missed it, I'd encourage you to catch up. There's a bit of reverb going on, I think, here. Is there? Could we just dial that down a bit? Is that okay? Because I'm getting a bit of coming back. So whilst I was preparing this message on growing the family of God, I thought, you know, what actually grows? What do we grow? And so my mind turned to seed. What does growth mean in seed? And I thought, well, the idea just kind of grew from there. Growing the family grew from. So if you want a title for today's message, that was really bad, wasn't it? That was worse than Riverside News. If you want a title for today's message, it is The Seeds We Sow. Okay, The Seeds We Sow. Or, to put it another way, where is your focus? So we're going to be looking at two questions principally, and two questions are, what are we sowing into, and what are we sowing with? So as a reference text, we're going to be using Matthew 13, which starts with the parable of the sower. So parables, by the way, are stories that Jesus told, but they're stories which operate kind of at two levels. They're stories which operate on the superficial level, which is the story itself, but then there's also a deeper meaning behind it. And what Jesus tries to do is he tries to explain something of the deeper truths through these stories. And his audience would have been a whole spectrum of people, a whole mix of people across society. And they'd have been listening to the words that Jesus was speaking. And there'd be some who would just listen to the story and enjoy the story. There'd be some who would be motivated to actually dig deep and try and understand the meaning behind the story. I do keep getting some reverb here, don't I? Meaning behind the story. And what I want to draw out today is something of the meaning behind the story of the parable of the sower. So Matthew 13. The parable, actually Matthew 13 is a series of parables which deal with the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Matthew referred to it as the kingdom of heaven because he was talking mostly to a Jewish audience. The Jewish audience would have been offended at the end of the day about the regular repeated use of the word God, which they rightly hold as holy. They'd have thought of it as blasphemous to talk about the kingdom of God. So Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven, whereas the other disciples, Mark and Luke, refer to it as the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. Same thing. So in Matthew 13, we read firstly about the parable of the seed and the soils. We read then about the weed and the seed, the wheat and the weeds. The mixture of the good and the bad in life to be sorted out at judgment time. We then read about the mustard seed and the yeast. From small beginnings, the kingdom of God will grow greatly. We then read about the treasure, the pearl, So valuable is the kingdom, it's worth giving all we have to make sure of it. Finally, we read about the fisherman's net, which describes the sorting out of good and bad at the end of time. And together, all these parables in Matthew 13, there's such a lot of wealth and wisdom in this chapter. And I'd urge you to, go read it, digest it, learn it. It's really, really good stuff. But we're looking at the first one. And what does this have to do with growing the family of God? So there are different types of growth. There's numerical growth. There is spiritual growth. There is growth in knowledge of the Word of God. There's a growth in experience of the dynamics of the kingdom of God, the move of the Holy Spirit. All these things can be classed as growing the family of God. So whether we're looking at making disciples, becoming more mature, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, I believe, and what I really want to try and convey this morning, what I want to get across this morning, is that the same basic principles apply to each scenario. And in fact, the areas aren't mutually exclusive. So for instance, becoming more mature in God, becoming more mature as a Christian should lead to a greater hunger and anticipation for the move of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Should do. And that in turn should, if the move of the Spirit is more evident in our lives and in the church life, then that should edify the church, build up the church. So our hunger works to edify the church. And that enables us to be bolder, more effective witnesses to Christ, which builds the church, which edifies the church. And can you see how this growth kind of snowballs and gets bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes on for those who are hungry? Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are the church. So although it's Jesus who builds the church, can you see how we have some kind of responsibility here? Jesus builds his church. We are the church. We have a responsibility to be that pure and spotless bride of Christ. So, you ready? Got your Bibles open? Matthew chapter 13. Everyone there? Everyone there? Good. Right. So starting at verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You see, in Jesus' day, we know what fields are like, don't we? Fields have hedgerows around them. They have fences around them, and they're fairly well contained in this country, at least, aren't they? They're fairly well contained. But in Jesus' day, fields were a little bit more open, so there weren't real boundaries to the fields. There was perhaps a path running down the side of the field for people to get to the next field, or to carry on their journey on, and they would have been. As the fields were prepared, they would have raked the stone to the side, so there'd be accumulations of stone at the side of the field as well. And also at the side of the field, because of all this, it would have been more difficult to maintain. So you'd have got thorns, you'd have got weeds growing up at the edges of the field. So as a farmer was scattering seed, it would have been completely natural for some of the seed to be scattered onto the paths and onto the stones, onto the thorns and weeds around. So the hearers in Jesus' day, the hearers of this parable would have fully understood what he meant by, as a farmer sows, some of the seed would have fallen on the wrong type of ground. But Jesus uses this illustration to share life-changing truth about the message of the gospel. And he, in fact, himself, he actually explained this parable and what it means. So turn with me, we're just going to look at this quickly now in verse 18. And he explains what he meant. And he says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. You see, this speaks of the heart which is not given to cultivate the word of God in the busy routines of life. The seed doesn't penetrate a person's understanding because it falls onto the path. It falls onto the hard ground, onto the superficial layer. The layer where the mind operates and the spirit doesn't. This kind of person doesn't seek after the word of God or bring God into the daily routine of life. It's not that there is a deterrent particularly to it. It's that there is simply no desire really to follow. So the seed falls and it quickly dies. How do we grow the family of God? Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And this speaks of a heart that has been hardened, has no roots in Christ-like character. You see, that the word doesn't take root because the seed falls. The roots start to grow, but they can't latch onto anything. They can't grow into anything. There's no nutrient, there's no nourishment, there's no goodness in the ground for it to grow. And the result is that although there's initial enthusiasm as growth happens, that growth is very soon stunted by trial, by tribulation, and the tender shoot is easily ripped away. How do we grow the family of God? The seed that fell among the thorns, verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. This speaks of the incomplete surrender of a person to the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed, after all, is incorruptible. The seed is perfect. But if the soil isn't cultivated, it can't support the seed. The seeds growing in this ground will be stunted. They'll be choked. It speaks of a heart not being fully surrendered to God and being drawn instead to materialism and being prone to worry and anxiety. But verse 23 says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. So it's only when seed, the good news of the salvation through Christ, that falls on fertile ground, that true fruit is realized. Growth is realized. But what a harvest, 30, 60, 100 times? So what seeds do we sow? Here today, we've all got our seeds to sow, haven't we? We've all got things, we've all got talents, we've all got abilities, we've all got particular traits that can be useful, that can be used. What are we using them for? What are we sowing into? Are we using for our own ends, or are we actively targeting, the fertile ground to plant seed for the kingdom of God, for the family of God? Where is our focus? Where is our attention? Are we deliberately, prayerfully, carefully investing our energies in the right goal of kingdom building? Whether this is reaching the lost, studying the word, or growing in faith, or edifying the saints, the principle remains the same. What are we sowing into? What is the prime goal of our lives? We know it should be to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But what comes on from that, and to love your neighbor as yourself? It means it's about growing the family of God. It's loving God and growing his family. Are we willing to put our shoulders to the wheel? Or are we content to look on, to spectate rather than to participate? I can't even say it. Participate. Do we keep the bag of seed to ourselves? Or do we start to sow? I've got a great friend who is a businessman, and he has built a really great business. He's put a lot of energy and dynamism and thought and effort over many years to grow a business, and it's now a very successful business. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. You know, God blesses people. He really does. God blesses people. And I celebrate that with him. But if growing something, growing a business like this, becomes the prime focus, and the prime focus becomes growth of the business, becomes growth of wealth. Now, listen to me here. Wealth isn't bad, but when wealth becomes the focus of what we're doing, then our focus is not right. You see, if you're growing a great business like that, it becomes empire building and not kingdom building. Do you get the difference? So if we, and this guy's a great guy, by the way, there's nothing, I'm not speaking against anything that he's done. He's done a great job. But for us as Christians, where is our focus? The creation and accumulation of wealth is not wrong, but if it becomes our focus, it becomes pocket lining rather than kingdom shining. See, I firmly believe that all of us who are saved have a part to play in growing the kingdom of God. We may not be a pastor, but we can all care for people, can't we? We may not be an evangelist, but we can all share our faith. We may not be a prophet, but we can all listen for and listen to the voice of God and speak it into someone's life. We may not be a teacher, but we can all take what we've learned ourselves and help those in the journey who aren't quite as far on as we are. We may not be an apostle, but we all have a part to play in growing the family of God. So looking at this from a slightly different angle, we've looked at sowing a seed into the right type of ground, but what about the type of seed? Well, I've got a few types of seed here today. The first type of seed, I was going to harvest from my own garden, actually, and I was going to bring in some weed seeds, and I couldn't find any. Now, that's not to say it's a perfect garden. It's not to say there aren't any. There are loads of weeds. They're just not in seed at the moment. So I couldn't, and I was really disappointed about that. I shouldn't be, but I was. So instead, I've actually got some seeds here, which are mint seeds in this packet. Now, mint isn't a weed, but has anyone here planted mint in the garden? Doesn't it spread? Hard to stop as well, isn't it? And it really should be banned. I'm sure it should be banned because it just takes over. I've also got a second set of seeds. I've got some zinnia seeds here, which are beautiful flowers. These are called Purple Prince, the variety. Read into that what you will. And I've also here got some tomato seeds. Now, I couldn't resist these because the variety is Oh Happy Day. You couldn't make it up, could you? It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So what type of seeds? As much as the type of soil, as much as the focus of our sowing, the focus of our energies, the focus of our efforts is really, really important. What about what we're actually doing into that area? What are we actually sowing? Do we sow weeds? Do we backchat? Do we gossip? Do we criticize behind someone's back? Do we seek to pull down and not build up? Do we seek to stifle the move of God because we feel a bit uncomfortable? Or do we embrace what God wants to do? See, we need to examine our hearts and not give room for weeds. We might be born again Christians. We might be spirit filled, but we can still sow weeds. So flowers, what about flowers? Let's have a look at this lovely purple prince zinnia again. You know, we can plant seeds, we can plant flowers, and the flowers spring up and they say, wow, look at me, aren't I great? Look how beautiful I am. And they're utterly useless. Well, actually, no, that's someone's going to tell me about pollinators, aren't they? But you can't eat them, can you? No, but someone's going to tell me about pollinators and about biodiversity, and you know, I get that. And they are an example of God's wonderful creative miracle, aren't they? Because they showcase his beauty. And I know that. Don't criticize me, okay? Or we could perhaps plant some tomato seeds. Now, have you ever planted tomatoes? They start off and they look a bit unassuming, don't they? They grow quite quick, but they're quite unassuming. They're quite ugly, in effect. The plants, when they grow. And they smell a bit, and they're kind of one of those Marmite smells, aren't they? You either like it or you hate it. I love it. I love growing tomatoes. But they just get down to work. they draw nutrients from the soil, which is the Word of God. They bathe in the light of His presence. And they produce a fruit that's 30, 60, or 100-fold. In fact, did you know, have a guess now, what's the largest number of fruit ever harvested from a single tomato plant? Come on, have a guess. Shout out some answers. Five. What sort of a gardener are you? Five. All on one plant. All on one plant. One plant. 150? 105? 3,000? Okay, right. So, it was actually 5,891 tomatoes, as recorded in the Guinness Book of Records, grown from one seed by a Mr. Douglas Smith of Stansted Abbotts, UK, August 2022. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to grow the family of God. I want to make sure I'm sowing into good soil. I want to make sure I'm sowing the right kind of seed to grow fruit, to edify, to train, to encourage, to take ground, to see growth, not just in number, but in strength and in ability. You've heard the phrase, iron sharpens iron. Yeah? Well, it's actually taken from Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. About 20 years ago, I bought a knife sharpener. And it sat in the drawer. And it sat in the drawer up until about 19 years ago. No, sat in the drawer up to about 1 year ago. I'd had it for about 19 years or something ridiculous like that. Never used it. Meanwhile, our knives were getting blunter and blunter and blunter. And you know what happens when you try and cut something and it kind of moves out of the way? You know, you don't go through it, it just kind of moves out of the way because you haven't got a nice blade on your knife. And I thought, you know, all that time I've had the ability to sharpen and hone something, and I've not used it. What a parallel that is to our spiritual walk, isn't it? Parallel to our spiritual walk. How can we sharpen each other? I want to sharpen, and I want to be sharpened, and I want to sharpen others as well. And I, you know, this has come to me first. So I've been really examining my heart over the last few weeks. Show me where I'm sowing into the wrong type of ground. Show me, God, where I'm sowing the wrong sort of fruit. The wrong sort of seed, I beg your pardon. Because I want to build and I want to grow. I want my brothers and my sisters, my children, my children's children, to do greater things than me. Amy, my daughter, preached for the first time a few weeks ago in Exmouth. She's already preaching better than I am. It's brilliant. But that is amazing. That is what I want. I want the next generation to do greater than I could ever do, you know? I don't want to hold on to a fence. I don't want to walk. I don't want to talk behind someone's back. God, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? I want to deliberately set these things aside. I believe that in these days, God is calling us for a purity and a holiness. And He's calling us to be different to what is outside these doors, so that when we go outside these doors, we make a difference. As we sow seed, as we edify the church, as we grow the family of God. You know that back chat and gossip has no place. No place here. Let's work together. So we're going to pray. And if you want to be equipped to sow good seed, I'd like to invite you forward. If you want to just say, God, look, I'm sorry if I got things a little bit out of kilter. Sorry if I got things a bit wrong. Just come forward. We'd love to pray with you. There's no condemnation. There's no hassle like that. It's joy. It's a joy to pray for each other. It is a joy to celebrate God. See, why do we talk like this? Why do we talk like this? You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There is no condemnation in Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what seed you've sown in your life so far, doesn't matter what you've been involved with, doesn't matter what has drawn you away from God, there is always a path back. There is always a path back into the center of the field where the soil is fertile. And I wonder if we can just close our eyes. And I want to invite you, I want to take this opportunity now to invite you. If you don't know Jesus Christ and what a difference he can make in your life, I want to invite you to take a step of faith this morning. The best step you'll ever take. He is calling to you. He is drawing you. He is inviting you into relationship. He is inviting you to experience the wonder of his love this morning. So if you want the fruit, you want to sow good seed, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just whilst every eye is closed, just stick your arm up now, please. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, just stick your arm up now. I'm going to invite the band up, the rest of the band up as well, please. Thank you, Lord. If you've put your hand up, I pray, I would ask you just to come forward at the end, please. Just have a chat. Thank you. Thank you. So that I can just explain something about the amazing thing that you've just done, the brave thing you've just done, and the exciting thing you've done.